Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. This is Resistance and Reformation on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Pierre Viret is a forgotten giant of the 16th century magisterial Reformation. It was Viret who, along with his mentor William Farel, first brought the Reformation to the city of Geneva in 1534. Already, he had introduced the doctrines of grace to the Swiss towns of Orbe, Gondessen, Béarn, and Neuchâtel. After the Genevan Disputation of 1535, he moved on to Lausanne, where he again witnessed great gospel faithfulness. He was back in Geneva in 1536 in time for a famously fateful meeting with John Calvin. It was then that the fiery Farel threatened Calvin with divine retribution if he did not remain in the city to labor side by side with them. Calvin had only intended to pass through on his way to Strasbourg. What is less known is that it was Viret who softened Farel's fulminations, persuading Calvin to stay. The next year, Viret was in Lausanne, overseeing the reforming work there once again. He pastored a thriving church and established the first academy for Reformed theological training. It was there that Viret helped to disciple Theodore Beza, who became the headmaster of the Lausanne Academy. It was also there that Viret discipled Guy de Bray, author of the Belgic Confession, as well as Zacharias Arsenius and Caspar Olivanus, authors of the Heidelberg Catechism. When Calvin was banished from Geneva in 1538, it was Viret who was called on to do the work of reconciliation and restoration. It was Viret's intercessions that persuaded the council to invite Calvin to return in 1541, and it was Viret who persuaded his reluctant friend to accept the invitation. Whenever there was an intractable conflict in any of the churches throughout the Swiss cantons, it was Viret who was called on to restore their purity and their peace. He also invigorated the fledgling Huguenot movement, bringing the Reformation first to Nîmes and then to Montpellier, Lyon, Marseille, Aix, and Orange. Such gospel faithfulness was inevitably met by fierce opposition and persecution, more often than not from magistrates, both local and imperial. After 2 decades of effectual ministry, political pressure from Bern forced Viret to flee from Lausanne in 1559. He was joined in exile by all his fellow pastors, the professors of the academy, all of their students, and hundreds of the city's congregants. They tasted the bittersweet truth that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, and that great blessings and rewards await those who have been insulted, slandered, and sore vexed, but who nevertheless persevere. Never one to indulge in bitterness, Viret embraced the truth that all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He knew that the heroes of the faith have always been those who sacrificed their lives, fortunes, and reputations for the sake of the gospel. He affirmed in his prolific sermons, correspondence, and publications that it is in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, and hunger that the mettle of our faith is most often proven. Though he suffered the slanging ridicule and torments of the civil and ecclesiastical authorities of his day, he remained steadfast in hope. He returned again and again to the surety of the power of the gospel to change men and nations, and to the great expectation declared in 1 Peter chapter 2, wherein we apprehend, he said, both a command and a promise. In that passage, the Apostle Peter was reminding the elect exiles of his day that they were but sojourners. They were to keep their conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they were reviled as evildoers, the revilers might see their good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. They were to be subject for the Lord to every human institution, including the emperor as supreme, or to governors who were sent out by him. Thus, the command to do good, and thus the promise that they should consequently silence the ignorance of foolish people. Indeed, they were to live as people who are free, not using their freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. They were to honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and, astonishingly, honor the emperor. Viret's great purpose, like Peter before him, was reformation, not revolution. He therefore encouraged his beloved brothers and sisters as oft-beleaguered sojourners to be the best of subjects. He declared, "There is no doubt that rulers are, beyond compare, much better served by believers who know the gospel than by any other men." Viret was deeply beloved in his day, known as light to brighten and salt to preserve. To friend and foe alike, he was known as the smile of the Reformation. To others, he was the angel of the Reformation. And there is little wonder why. He was, for all intents and purposes, a great model for us in our day of fractiousness, corruption, and persecution. He was the model of resistance and reformation. I'm George Grant on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. For more information and for resources, go to georgegrant.net or adoringgod.org.